This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Well, you know, I do what I can. Oh, well, hello, everyone. We are popping in a little early or a little late, depending on how you look at it. I am Kyle Curtis. We have a fantastic Steve.
You know where you are today, Kyle.
No, I was going to introduce you as Billy Connolly, but I decided not to.
You should have gone with Moses.
Yes.
I'm labeled as Moses for the rest of my eternity on YouTube.
How would Moses speak? If you had to be Moses right now, how would you introduce yourself?
I have the Ten Commandments. I don't know. I've seen the movie like once.
Wow. So, so Moses was originally from West Virginia.
My people go.
Thou shalt not kill, everyone. Thou shalt not kill.
Y'all get along now, okay?
I like that he came down from the mountain and he was like, I have the Ten Commandments.
I have 15 if he drops one. I have 10.
And instead of a burning bush, it was the burning washing machine that's always on the front porch. All right. Welcome to Non Sequitur. I'm Kyle Curtis. Steve McRae, as always, is with us. Dave is producing. And we have two fantastic people that are joining us tonight. One of them you recognize very well. I'm going to introduce her as her surname, Shannon. Q.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I had to fight against doing it. I really wanted to do it, but Shannon Q.
I appreciate it. I know.
You choked that back. You heard, you saw that, right?
No, I did. Yeah, I hurt him a little.
And joining us for the first time is Mark. It's Seidel, right? I want to make sure I'm saying that right. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you. And we're gonna have a fantastic discussion with everyone here in just a second. But as always, we're gonna run through what we've got coming up, and we have a big surprise at the end of this, just confirmed for next week. So there's gonna be a profound announcement made here in just a second. Okay, it's profound. It's so profound. It's very profound. That'll make sense in a second. Just bear with me.
Is it profound? Because I want it to be profound.
It's very, profound things. It's very profound.
Okay, profound, we're good.
Tomorrow, sensory deprivation. Now, we sent our senior sensory deprivation correspondents out in the field. They're actually there right now in Dallas, Texas, and they are getting ready to enter the deprivation chamber. We're going to record their experiences right before, and then as soon as they come out to see if they, you know, had any encounters, if there was anything swimming below them. I read all kind of horror stories online about people feeling things swimming beneath them, even though you're only in 10 inches of water. So I'm excited about that. That will be tomorrow at 8 p.m. And immediately following, Casey and I will be starting ideology. And tomorrow we're going to explore near-death experiences. That's tomorrow at 9:30, immediately following the regular non sequitur show. And then on Thursday, Rachel Oates, the lovely Rachel Oates, will be with us. And that's at 3 o'clock. Now, that's a change because she's on the other side of the planet. Or if you believe in the flat earth, she's right across over yonder. Either way, we will be having
like
a show
to listen to us.
Right. Yeah. At 3 p.m. And then Friday, genetic engineering. And for those of you asking, because a lot have, Dr. Cy Gart will be back with us for that. And in a discussion with him is a gentleman by the name of Walter Veit. And he has written an extensive research paper on why it could be beneficial. And naturally, Dr. Gart's going to be arguing that it is not. And so that will be a very interesting, although I won't be able to follow a word of it. I'll have Steve translate it for me later, as he always does. But it'll be a good talk nonetheless. Okay, Saturday will be debate roulette. Sunday will be flatline. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But okay. Last week we had profound Rick Delano on to tell us about the geocentric worldview he possesses. And he said he would be back. Well, he is coming back, and he will be meeting the one and the only King Crocoduck. That's next Thursday at 8 Eastern. That will be something you do not want to miss. Profound. A profound show. Okay, then Sunday. Interesting. Well, I can just tell them here. You don't have to put it back up, Dave. Sunday, we have this show called Flatline. It's the Flatline Rodeo. Now, how this is going to work, you can go anytime now to our Discord. The link will be in the description. And there is a channel called Flat Earth Rodeo, or Flatline Rodeo, excuse me. If you're a flat earther and you want to enter this, we are going to be putting on a King of the Flat Earth tournament in July. The way that you pass into that tournament is you win the rodeo. There will be three rodeos in between now and the King of the Flat Earth. And the way the rodeo works is on Sunday, we will take whoever's there first. It's a first come, first serve basis. You will have a chance to come on the show with somebody like Reds, Jim Panda, all those people we're going to bring in here at some point. And you're going to get to state your case. Now, you cannot go anywhere outside of evidence. You have to stick with the scientific evidence. You can't go into calling Steve a poopy head or sticking your fingers in your ear and saying, no, 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 that's not how it works. You have to stick with the evidence. Because the moment that you don't, the audience has the power to kick you off the show. There's a there will be a QR code on your screen. You will scan it with your phone, and you will vote. And once your needle passes into that red zone, you're out. And whoever lasts the longest during the duration of that show wins that rodeo, and you will be entered into the King of the Flat Earth tournament in July. So if you're interested, go now to our Discord, and first come, first serve basis. We will start getting your information, and we'll get you in and see how long you last. So that'll be fun. Okay, there was one other announcement. Oh, Steve will announce this, I guess. Tell them about Soulphone.
Oh, recently I've discovered the high-tech version of New Mediumship called Soulphone. And Soulphone is a startup company, a limited liability corporation, that claims using quantum technology and sophisticated science that none of us understand, I'm sure, they'll you'll be able to talk to dead relatives and famous scientists. So you can actually question Einstein more about his field equations, if you wish to, or something. It is a huge thing, actually. They have all control rooms. You come in, you talk to a facilitator, aka medium, and then they record it and translate it to quantum mechanical bits and bytes and things of that techie stuff, and you talk to dead people. So
after several emails back and forth, we're going to get them on this show, and it's going to be on a Wednesday, because immediately following in the ideology show, we're going to have somebody that believes that it works. So it'll be a twofer. We'll have the actual people who are behind the technology here on Non Sequitur, and then somebody who buys into the technology on the following show. Now, it's not just that. They have four different programs. I read these off to Dave earlier today. They have Soul Voice, where you can actually hear the voice of the person you're trying to talk to, soul video, where you can see the person you're trying to talk to, soul keyboard, where the medium is typing things on a keyboard and it's transcribing the message from the great beyond. And I forget what the fourth one was.
You broke Shannon. You broke her.
Listen.
Damn it, we broke Shannon. Sorry, guys.
It's up the devil.
But that's just the tip. This is the last thing I want to say about this because I don't want to ruin the surprise, but that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, there's what more. Done,
when I sent him an email, the email that I got back said, he wanted to know about reach, you know, like how many people is in your audience or whatever. But at the end of his email, this is what he said. Listen, he goes, in the meantime, why don't you click this link and read about how you too can start your own, I believe they call it wellness something community in your area. Yeah.
Or something.
Right. So I clicked it, and what they're doing is they're setting up these communities everywhere of people who buy into this stuff that believe that they're not, I read their mantra. They believe that they are, they're not their bodies. When their body dies, they still remain. They have the option of transferring into a different body to continue to experience life, or go into a realm where you're still here, and somehow you are a collection of energy and you have been in this life before. And it's up to you to decide when you're tired of wearing your body and you want to be free. And the amazing thing is, I hope that they have better connection services than like AT&T and Verizon, because if not, there's going to be a lot of people trying to, it's going to be bad. Can you hear me now?
And this is viable? This is viable? Like, these are, people are actually setting up these communities?
It would seem so.
They're not, they don't believe, they're non-religious. That's the thing.
No, but I mean, like, this business model is viable. Like,
oh,
they're a limited liability corporation.
Apparently.
That makes
it sad. Yeah. So stay tuned, guys, because that's going to be an epic night right there. So let's get into tonight's conversation. And basically, I was actually listening to the artist formerly known as Christian Anarchist. And in a stream you were in with him, and I heard you mention that you are studying to be a chaplain. But then I heard that you say, you used something as an example, and you said, but I too am a homosexual. Some of that about, I'm paraphrasing. But I remember going, wait a minute. That doesn't sink. So I was thinking about it, and I was like, I wonder if I reach out to him and ask him if he'll come on so that we can kind of just have a conversation back and forth, because I'm intrigued how that, you know, squares up. And here you are. So number one, thank you for coming on. And I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves. Shannon, plug your channel, tell people who you are, and then we'll let you do the same, Mark, and then we'll jump right in.
Okay. So hi, everybody. I'm Shannon Q. I have a channel called Shannon Q, because I'm incredibly clever, and I talk primarily about communication strategy and atheist advocacy and pretty much anything that has to do with the intersection of psychology and atheism. I'm also the co-host of the Heathen Hour podcast on Godless Cranium's channel, and I am also in the background and sometimes the forefront of the Apologia channel, and I'm also the host of a series called Let's Talk About You with Shannon Q on Steve McRae's channel. So, you know, if you have YouTube, I'm YouTube, I guess, to a certain degree.
She gets around. She gets around.
Yeah. Well, there's a word for that. What's the word for that?
Kyle? Don't. I also have a Twitter account if you'd like to see what Kyle's alluding to. It's Shan _Q0. And yeah, and my Twitter is a busy place. And it's nice to see you. It's nice to meet you.
You know, do you know who I found that your main beef with is usually? It's usually with the sexually frustrated, because they always pick out either your pictures that you do, or with the incel thing, or with classical theist. there's always an element
of sex in the undertone. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to be nice, but, okay, Mark, over to you. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do and why you do it.
Okay. My name is Mark Seidel. My YouTube channel is Mark Seidel. You have it wrong in the link.
I saw
the description,
that.
But who cares? Look up Mark Seidel. And I do short sermons, lessons or whatever, if you want to call it that. Just right to the point, you know, things about scripture and about God and certain, you know, topics that... you know, hot topics. And I started a contemporary Christian radio station called ChristosRadio.com. And that's 24-hour music Monday through Saturday, and then Sundays, all, you know, 24 hours of sermons from some, you know. Oddly enough, I tend to like Calvinist preachers, which is odd. But they just have a passion, and they're younger preachers, more passionate, you know, stuff. If you're a Christian, you might like it. If you're not a Christian, you won't. But, you know, check it out.
And you yourself are you're a Catholic, correct?
No, I actually, I was involved in Hinduism for 27 years. And although I never gave up my belief in Jesus, it's very compatible. A lot of people don't understand that. When I left that organization, I was going to go back to the Catholic Church. After communicating with the priest at the church and having a couple of sit-downs, it was obvious that that was not for me. I explained to him how I saw scripture regarding homosexuality, same-sex loving, you know, relationships. And he told me that sometimes he understands where I was coming from, but sometimes church tradition trumps scripture. Now, I don't know what my face did at that moment, because that was like, oh, wait. So I told him, stop the registration for the parish and all that kind of stuff. And then I just found another church that is in a gay affirming, welcoming church.
Yeah,
and they understand it. Even before going to that church, I contact the pastor and I said, listen, I need to be blunt. Are you gay affirming and all that kind of stuff for membership, or because you understand the scripture? And do you have Bible study? So he got back to me and he understood the scripture. I went there. And as a matter of fact, I've been going there. And this past Sunday, I had my little ceremony where I became a member of the church. So.
Sorry, I'm probably just going to talk a lot because I have a lot of questions. So when you say gay,
there's a lot in there.
Yeah. When you say gay affirming, what exactly does gay affirming mean? Does that mean that you're accepting of gay marriages within the church? Does that mean that you just acknowledge that gay people exist naturally? What does it mean within your denomination to be gay affirming?
It means that we do have gay, we have gay clergy, we have gay marriages. My problem is that I don't identify as gay. I identify as a homosexual. I'm attracted to other men. I believe that gay does not, the gay pride movement, although it's done a lot of good for gay rights, does not represent homosexuals. And I get in, you know, fights, you know, arguments with my gay friends. They're like, oh, how could you be like that? It's like, I'm sorry, I'm not. You know, I bring up the story of a drag queen on a skateboard going down Main Street. And it's like, that doesn't say homosexuality. That says a lifestyle.
I know what you mean by that. So, I can understand that.
So I was kind of shocked to find out that my church actually marched in the gay pride parade in our nearby town. And I was like, what? So do you identify as a gay person? Yeah, it is good. It lets people know that we're there, but at the same time, it's like, what is your identity? What is your identity? Are you like, I'm Mark. I happen to be a homosexual. And you know, so I have a little bit of concern with that.
You're saying that gay in as a culture is like the, what you see at a gay pride parade. You know, the leather straps and you know, the glitter and you're stripping all that away and just talking about homosexuality is the attraction between two people of the same sex without the
yes.
Rhinestones, glitter, and bright lights, right?
Yeah, now see, that all that stuff is fine. Yeah,
all that stuff
is fine. And I don't have a problem with it for the people who want to do that. But when, you know how the media, it's like, oh, they had the gay pride parade and they show the most bizarre people. And it's like, oh, that's what gay people are like. And for Christians who are fundies, you know, they see that kind of stuff and they're not going to look any more into it because it scares them. They're freaked out by it. So in that respect, I don't think that the gay community does any justice for, you know, homosexuals.
I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, it does. I may not agree with that take on it, but I see where you're coming from in terms of separating the two. But I don't want to split. Go ahead, Jen.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it seems like you might be saying that they're representing kind of the outliers as opposed to what you see to be the norm amongst the community, which is just, you know, an average person who doesn't, you know, affiliate themselves with the other components that the gay movement is advocating for, which are great. So it sounds like you're supporting it, but you feel like those aren't the majority of people, but because they're up in the forefront, people who are aversive see them as the majority or representative of the majority. And then that's a detriment because it scares them, even though they shouldn't be. It would be easier to ease them in.
Sure, absolutely. It's like with the whole gay marriage thing. I was like, okay, can you start out by calling it something else? You know, just jumping
marriage.
In with the marriage.
Like marriage. So it's like,
Jinx. you're asking for a lot of resistance here. You're not being smart about this. The civil unions. You know, can you start there and then like ease people into this? But at the same time, sometimes I feel like fuck you. Sometimes I feel like, you know,
you can say fuck you. I like it. Yeah.
So anyway,
please do.
My face, I can feel getting really red.
This is the kind of ministers that I feel that we need. If we have to have them. Then these are the kind that we need, I say.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one. I have to look up her name for her. Her name is Reverend Nadia, and it's not the Nadia that we know from Reverend Nadia somebody. She's with.
I was going to say, did Nadia get ordained? Because that would have been really cool.
Yeah, right? So this minister has like tattoos everywhere, and I believe she's a lesbian, and she's with the Lutheran Church. And. You should hear some of her sermons. I mean, as a matter of fact, on my radio station on Sundays, I have one of her sermons, and I had to actually cut her prayer out because it was a little bit too much for my station. You know what I mean? You would love her.
Oh, wow.
She's awesome.
Well,
so there's work out here.
Tell me about how you got to where you decided that you wanted to go in the ministry. I'm interested in because I had the complete opposite, I think, experience you did. I mean, I knew from very early on that I was gay, but I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, where you're taught that it's just an abomination that, you know, you go straight to hell for that over and over again. And so that kind of molded me to be very aggressive towards religion once I got out, you know? And so I can't, for the life of me, it pains me to see somebody that is willing to go back into it or, you know, dive in and want to, I mean, I'm sure you have your reasons and I'm not here to try to sway you otherwise, but I just want to kind of understand what made you decide that even though the Bible does say these certain things, or actually that's probably a good place to start, honestly, is what does the Bible actually say about, homosexuality, because I know that you say that people don't get it right, and then we can kind of go into what made you decide to make this a thing.
Okay, well, First of all, I'm just going to start by saying this. When I was the little weird kid who had a little corner in my bedroom all blocked off, and I would read the Bible at 7 years old. I've always, you know, I was born and raised Catholic. I had all the statues all over my room. When the kids, you know, would do certain things, I would be performing mass for the neighborhood kids with potato chips and stuff. So I was, and I wanted to be a priest in the worst way, but then I realized that I was a homosexual at an early age. And so therefore that wasn't going to work. My grandparents were going to pay for me to go to seminary, and I came out to them. We all decided that was a bad idea. So because of the fact that I had a dog in the race, I needed to know what God wanted from me. And so I started delving into the scriptures. And what I was finding out is that the word homosexual was translated and used several times in different versions of the Bible where it certainly shouldn't have been. You know, we could start with Sodom and Gomorrah, and that is a story that is explained in Ezekiel as to what the sin of Sodom was, and it certainly wasn't homosexuality. God, if people look at the Bible, was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah before the whole thing with the angel, the male angels, happened. That's why they went there. And it's like Christians are like, oh, well, it's because those angels, those guys were trying to, all the homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah were going to rape the angels. So God destroyed. That's not what it was. God sent those angels to check out to see if there was anybody worthy of saving before he destroyed the place. So that's off the table. Sodom and Gomorrah is gone. So then you go into Leviticus. And it is, you know, if you look at it in context, number one, it's Levitical law. It's for the Levites, and it has to do with the priestly caste. There are certain things such as if you were a dwarf, if you had a blemish, you couldn't approach the Holy of Holies. You couldn't, you know, you were unclean. And there was also an element there of male temple prostitution. So the word homosexual, when they're saying that a man should not lie with another man, that's a purity law. That has nothing to do with loving same-sex relationships. So if you're a Christian, screw all that, because most of you claim that you're under the new covenant and none of that matters. Conveniently.
I like so, that.
I just feel as though, you know, homosexuals are really bashed. I mean, we call these, as a matter of fact, these verses, we call them the clobber verses. So then we can go into 1 Corinthians 6:9. And it says that homosexuals, once again, the words mistranslated, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. They're talking about male temple prostitutes again, and not only that, they're also talking about idolatry. If you read a few verses before that, or a chapter before that, and a chapter after that, you would understand. There were orgies. There were grown men having sex with boys, all in the name of idolatry and pleasing and doing these orgies and sex parties for the local gods. So the Bible never really talks about loving same-sex, you know, relationships. They say, well, it also says that man left the natural use of the woman and that burned in lust, you know, towards one another. Yeah, well, that sort of sounds to me of like a straight man having sex with a gay man. And I could see like they might have a problem with that.
And we know that never happens.
Yeah, oh yeah, right. I mean, geez, I know they're all free.
Have it with me.
I'm looking at you.
But here's the thing.
Have it with me.
They're all afraid. Straight people get straight guys get afraid. Like, oh man, this gay guy's going to come after me. My experience is it's the other way around. Yeah. What's up?
He's not wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. No,
I have a lot of gay friends. I've seen that happen. He is right. It's weird, but it happens.
I think we're going to adopt you as the official, the official minister of non sequitur. I think that's what
I'm all in.
Dave, can we get the sound? Can we get the sound on that?
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Hold on, Mark.
That's awesome.
So, why is it? Let me ask you this, then. Let me ask you this. Why is it that Christians nowadays are able to spew this hatred? Skylar Fiction had a gentleman called Ben the Baptist on his show where he had a conversation with it. How is that in any way able to be put forth from the same religion and the same God that you yourself believe in? Because to me, there's no way they're the same God. No way.
They're not. I can go in a couple of different directions with this. I'm not real crazy about Yahweh. Right. I'm not really crazy about Yahweh. And I say that because I'm not 100% convinced that Jesus' father is the same entity as Yahweh. Yahweh is the God of Israel. And so I have my questions about that whole thing, which is complete heresy, of course. But, you know, there are things to that you need to look into as far as that goes, and that with being with the Elohim in the first creation, and then Yahweh in the creation of Adam and Eve in the garden. And then you, in Psalms 82, we talk about Elohim judging the other Elohim in the divine council. So Jesus's father is a loving God and preaches, and Jesus preaches love and acceptance and hanging out with the sinners. And I would assume that one of the reasons for that would be that if someone feels loved and accepted, they're going to stick around. I mean, that's what we all want. Now, if Christians reject homosexuals, what they're essentially doing is pushing the homosexuals into the community that they find disgusting. The homosexual is going to go to the gay community for love and acceptance. So the Christians are screwing people, and they're screwing themselves. Anyone that does that to another human being, good luck on Judgment Day. It's not kind. It's not loving. It is not what Jesus taught at all. And if you have a problem and it that deeply with homosexuality, you might need therapy. You need to. I don't know what the problem is. It just boggles my mind.
I'll tell you this too. Go ahead, Jan.
I was just one of the things that baffles me is, especially in the Old Testament, like you mentioned, if it is attributed as a sin, it's akin to, you know, wearing mixed fabrics, right? Like it's essentially like a page later, and yet it's treated an exponentially different level of moral assessment by Christians. And that I can only attribute that to an emotional appeal on their part in their interpretation of the scripture, because otherwise they would consider them both to be equal atrocities to their mind based on the way the scripture itself is laid out. Do you feel that sort of interpretation is fair? Do you think that it's an emotional appeal just because they can't identify with it or don't understand it, or what, how do you
without
feel
about that? Without doubt. And I'll tell you something. In the 27 years that I was, you know, in Hinduism, there are practices for the priests. There's certain rules for the priests. For instance, when you go up to the altar to do deity worship, now understand that Hindus believe that those deities are actually God. Okay? God is, through mantras and everything, they bring God into the deity. When a priest goes onto the altar, they are not allowed to wear clothes that are stitched. It has to be one piece of cloth, okay? But that's not for the rest of the congregation. That's not for the rest of the believers. That's for the priest going up to the altar. Now, I find the Christian. Okay, let me be careful here. I find that many Christians.
Don't be careful.
I find that many Christians are very, very close-minded, and they will surprise, and they will not.
Really?
They will not investigate, because I have, like, I know I'm not watching the outside chat because I don't care what anybody, you know, has to say. My belief system is not up for debate. Period. But I do have a PDF, a link to a PDF for people to go and look into this stuff. I made up a whole PDF of it. The problem is that they won't. You know, that's sad. I know that most Christians, absolutely, yeah. The most Christians won't even look into it because they don't care. I had a brother tell me recently that I was trying to explain something to him, and he says, "No, I've read my Bible and everything. There's nothing more I need to learn." And I was like, "Oh, so God stopped speaking in Revelation? So you know, God, where's God? What is this relationship you have, and who is it with?" Yeah, they don't. It's disappointing.
Why can't? It's amazing to me sometimes to see, like, people such as yourself, and we were talking earlier about Dr. Saigar. They're like I said earlier, if we have to have religion, why can't everyone go in the direction that you guys go in? You're so few and far between, and you're one or two out of 1,000, and we're constantly inundated by the ones that get the scriptures wrong, and that in turn causes them to take actions that harm other people and influence other people. And those are the ones that are making the waves in society. Those are the ones that have the loudest voices. And those are the ones that are making life miserable for other people that they shouldn't be allowed to influence. Why can't we get a group like yourself and Dr. Gart to be that voice of reason? If we have to have religion, and I know that it'll never go away, I don't have any dreams of that, but why is it flipped like that? Why can't we get the smart ones making the decisions and not the fanatical, bigoted, misogynistic, homophobic ones that like to spout off at the mouth all the time?
We have no power, and we have no reason to try to control people, and that's what the scriptures have been used for.
Well played. Ever.
And, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, it's the truth. I mean, but Christians tend not to want to go anywhere but the Bible. And it's like, well, that's just stupid. How can you understand the Bible if you don't understand history? How can you understand the Bible in its correct context if you don't understand history? If you don't understand what the church fathers had to say, you know, sometimes I get a little speechless because it's like, you don't even know what Jesus said. Paul says this and Paul says that. What did Jesus say? I'm going to go with Jesus over Paul anyway. Not that I don't think that Paul's writings were inspired, because I do. But I'm sorry, Jesus trumps Paul. Jesus trumps, you know, John. And I'm talking about in Revelation. Because if you notice, I'm not going to get into it.
No, go ahead.
Revelation. Now, Revelation is when, all right, in the entire New Testament, God is never once, except for Revelation, when things get nasty again, is never referred to as Yahweh or Jehovah, ever, not once. I was going to go in that direction, but I'm going to leave that go because that's pretty controversial.
Can I ask you a question that's a little off reservation? I'm like, Kyle, did you want to go? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
both of us
please,
have so many
please.
Questions.
Please, go ahead.
So I'd like to circle back for a second to your church and the acceptance. And you mentioned that your church performs gay marriages. So your church condones, I'm assuming, you know, the consummation of those marriages and is approving of you know, engaging in marital sexual activity in a homosexual marriage relationship under God. So your church is completely fine, and your position on that is the same, that, you know, it's acceptable and yeah. God approves it, and it's not something that's going to be punishable when you face judgment.
All right, we'll get into that judgment in a little bit. But yeah, I do believe, and this is what most people don't understand, because of the fact that I didn't feel the need to tell them. Everyone's like, oh, you're a homosexual, and it's and you must fight so hard to be, you know, abstinent, and you're so wonderful and such a fighter. I'm abstinent because I'm not in love. I mean,
okay.
If I were to meet somebody that I wanted to have a relationship with and was in love with that person, yeah, I would have a sexual relationship with that person. And if I wasn't already married to a woman, I would probably ask that person to marry me. And
this is where I got your position wrong, I think.
You're married to a woman currently.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let me explain that one.
That you also are goes into bag of fascinating things. Okay.
Whoa.
Well, see, that explain that this will explain how damaging Christians are to homosexuals and their happiness. When I was 19, I at that point was a born again Christian, and so I wanted to change. I wanted to please God, and I married a woman, and she had a 4-year-old daughter who I raised for the time that we were together, which was 4 years. We just still happened to be married for 33 years. We just never bothered to get divorced. I don't even know where she lives. It's somewhere in Florida. But there were lives destroyed by that whole my getting married. Now, I'll tell you, one of the most loving things that happened was my father said to me that I'm not coming to your wedding. And I was like, I don't understand how you could do that to me. And he's like, you are going against your nature, and I can't approve of that. I love you. You're my son. And I think you're making a big mistake. That to me was so, that's loving. Not a group of people.
Oh, no.
Not a group of people making me feel as though I have to marry a female, have hearts broken, have a child's life destroyed because I have to live a certain way. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens. And that goes down a couple generations. I mean, my stepdaughter had kids. I was pop-up. The whole thing is tragic. That's not love. That's not love. That's not Jesus. And if you want to call yourself a Christian, you got to love everybody. Not just if it's comfortable. You have to love everyone. So,
I was there. I dated a girl for 3 years in college, and we got engaged. Thankfully, it's gonna sound weird. Thankfully, she cheated on me, and that gave me my out a month before our wedding. So I took it and just ran with it. But if I was in a different frame of mind, I think, and I hadn't just went through coming out of religion at that time, I probably would have forgiven her. I probably would have gotten married. I probably would have had kids by now and dealing with, you know, that sort of thing. It does. And and I'm sure you can attest to this too. Well, have you always been out, or did you
always?
Okay.
Well, I mean, I came out to my parents when I was 15, and my father said, "Yeah, like we've known that since you were a kid, a baby." And my mother was like, "No, what's that?" My father said that I walked around the house. Yeah, my father said that I'd walk around the house, and if I didn't agree with something, I would say pshaw. And he said, you were just, you know, it's just this thing. And my mother, who is dumb as a rock, God bless her, she was like, no, you're not. And I was like, would you like a list? You know, now I don't want to hear about it.
But that's good that they embraced you like that, though. That's a very rare occurrence, but a good one, you know, when you have that to your parents support you. Thankfully, I had the same thing, but I worried that coming out would kind of push that relationship out. And so I had over worry. You know what I mean? Like I worried too much about it and waited until I was 25 to eventually come out. And when I did, I didn't lose anyone. I didn't lose one person. They were all stood behind me. And it is a good thing. And it's a bad thing because then you're left with, okay, now I have to get used to somebody that I haven't known for 25 years. You know, this is a Kyle that's able to, you know, be attracted to who he wants, listen to what he wants, wear the type of clothes that he wants, because I like did everything I could to throw any kind of suspicion away from me, you know, wearing baggy clothes, even though I hated it. That was the worst part of being in the closet, is that you have to wear bootcut jeans. When I came down.
They need to be abolished. I'm going to start a petition. Yeah. Just abolish bootcut jeans forever, please.
Please.
I agree. Just
but
never.
But you're left with that looking back and going, okay, where would I be if I'd have just embraced who I was and come out? And then you're left with getting to know somebody that at 25 years old, you've never been. And the person that you were for 25 years is gone. You know, he doesn't exist anymore. Everything changes instantly right then. And it's a lot. And it's all from a dumb book. No offense to you, because I know that you believe it. I don't mean to insult you. I don't mean to insult you, but this is just my tangent on it. But it, all because of a book that somebody stamped holy on, and what I feel stole 25 years of who I really was, because it's a lot to kind of catch up and, you know, embrace who you are and be able to just be you. I mean, it's freeing, but and I know that sounds like I'm all over the place, but it's hard to explain unless you're, you know, in that mindset, because it's something that you really can't put into words, I don't think.
That's valid and fair. Yeah, no. I mean, so I'm sure Mark can attest to it. I'm sure because of that book that you come up against a lot of opposition, even within people who are theoretically supposed to be kind of in your camp because of your interpretation of an investigation of and view on the scriptures. Do people accuse you of things as though you're interpreting it so that you can find a way to accept yourself, or do people come at you from a lot of different angles?
Yeah. But here's the thing. I don't care, number one, because I have a lot of joy with my relationship with God, and nothing they say changes that. It doesn't matter if they came up and physically punched me in my face. I still have joy as far as God goes. You can't take that from me. And you were saying, Kyle, about, you know, wearing those clothes and pretending to be something. Now, I'm more effeminate, so it's kind of hard for me to hide. So what I did, I still tried to hide. I had, as we talked earlier, the bleach blonde, spiky hair, the pierced eyebrows, the dark eyeliner, and the, you know, the skinny jeans with combat boots. And I was like this punk rock thing. And I look back now, I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? That's so embarrassing. A friend of mine sent me a picture late recently, and it said blackmail on the front, and it was me back in the day. And I was like, oh my God.
That's what I'm worried about these days, because everything's documented now.
But it's like we do hide. We definitely hide. That's damaging. Yeah. That sets us back. And this is love. I don't see it that way. And anybody that does, I'm not one for saying that someone's. I just did a video the other day about people saying that other people aren't Christians, and I think that's heinous. That's a heinous thing to do, and I won't do that. But I think that if you're a Christian and you treat somebody the way homosexuals are generally treated, once again, do some deep praying, get into scripture, and take it from there. Or if you need to, talk to me.
Let me tell you, because I can see people. I want people out there listening to understand something. You wonder why people like me and we can't put Steve in there because he's agnostic, so he is still out on the question. But Shannon and Godless, the engineer in Cranium, and all those guys. The question that we're asked all the time is, why can't you just let us believe what we want to believe? And if everybody took it like you do, if everybody had the outlook that you do, if people were out there believing in God and they held to the belief as you do now, I have nothing to try to steer you away from. I have no problem whatsoever with what you believe right now. Like, there is no interest within me to try to disprove the God that you believe in or anything that you hold dear, because your religion does not harm other people. Your religion is something with you, and it's a personal thing. And if anything, you use it to try to make the world a better place. And that's just not the case with most Christians. Most Christians are divisive. They want to bully. They want to impose laws against people that just over a verse, over a sentence. Think about that. You're affecting people's lives every single day because of ink on paper and words that make a sentence. And ultimately, that's not just going to fly anymore. But I think that they do themselves a disservice, because if they wanted to stay relevant and they wanted to not continue to minimize in numbers, they would take a page out of your book instead of going in the direction of like Ben the Baptist or those people that like Steven Anderson that just preach hate. All that's going to do in the end is kill them off. Like, they're harming themselves more by preaching that kind of doctrine than they are anything. And if they were smart, they would take a page out of your book. What do you think, Shannon?
I partially agree. I think a lot of what they do also is kind of vilify that I fight against, is they seem to vilify atheists to a certain degree, and they look to misrepresent what an atheist is for whatever reason. I'm sure everybody has a myriad of their own reasons for why they need atheists to be contemptible human beings to allow them to continue on, but that's one of the reasons that I kind of rally against. I do think that it is it's damaging. I mean, your story attests to the damage that it can cause. And I'm really content and happy for you. I have always said faith is a personal thing. I'm an anti-theist, for the record, Mark. I'm not sure if you've met one before, yeah. But I am one. Yeah. But I'm a friendly one. I'm one that I'd fight to the death for somebody's right to retain their personal faith, so long as it doesn't become an imposition on another. So I would absolutely fight for that. So I'm glad that you were able to come to a place in your faith that allows you peace with it. And I'm very content in that for you. But I do think that there are other damaging components of faith, and I don't know your full range of beliefs, so I'm hesitant to fully give an endorsement for that reason, and I hope you can understand that. It's just me being honest, yeah, in the conversation, but I respect how you've been able to comport the reality of your belief so that it works for you, and that it's viable, and that it allows you to feel supported, and that you found a community that can do that for you. So I'm content in that, and almost 99% of everything else Kyle said, I'm completely on board.
That's a good point, though, Mark. Let me ask you this: what are your views on atheists? Like, do you see us as baby eating monsters that go out in the woods and light candles on fire and have orgies? Good. Okay. Well, then, at least you're factual.
No, I don't at all. I don't at all. I see you as being made in the image of God, as God's children. I've actually found atheists that found that offensive when I've said that. But that's just what I believe in. And listen, Shannon, you said about the truth. You were talking about the truth. Always go with the truth. Jesus Christ was the truth. Okay. This lying, this bullshit, this pretending that most Christians and other religious people do is not truth. It's not of God. I'm not going to say it's not of God. It's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught truth, honesty. Thou shalt not lie. Let's go all the way back there. It's all about being honest.
I respect your interpretation more than almost anybody that I've heard thus far. I have an absolute respect for the compassion and integrity of your interpretation as it affects people in the real world. And that is something that I very much respect. However, my issue with the book itself is that it allows for the other interpretation handily, easily.
Yeah.
It does. I agree with that. I will never say that I think it's the inerrant word of God. I will not say that it's the infallible word of God. I will say that it's the inspired word of God. Okay. It's the inspired word of God. And there are lots of mistakes in there. Man has got his hands into this book. Something fierce. It's been used for political purposes. I mean, King James. What a joke. King James has it. Does anybody know that King James has a book on demonology? He wrote a book on demonology. Okay, so let's get really into this and say, first of all, no one questioned the fact that a king, a political leader, commissioned a translation of the Holy Scripture. Oh, what could go wrong there?
Good point.
And then
it's called, isn't it, the demonologia or something like that? The demonologia.
That's it. Yeah. Yes. And the whole thing with that is that it's about hunting down witches and killing them. Okay, this was King James.
What about us?
You know what, Kyle? I'll come up there. I swear to God. I could reach you.
I'm sorry. I saw a window and I went for it.
You've been waiting. You've been very patient. You made it almost 40 minutes without saying thought. So good for you, Kyle.
What's up with this thought then?
Oh, no.
We'll let Shannon explain that one.
Okay. Oh, I think,
you want to...
You want me to do that now? Okay.
Well, so we can talk about it.
It's not a duck order. We do that. Yeah. You may want to explain it.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Why not? So on my Twitter account, I've been, I don't know, target is probably a bad word. I'm a frequent target of traditionalists who have a very misogynistic,
sexually frustrated
vocabulary. They're either involuntary or voluntary celibates, and they frequently call me things like a thought, which means that hoe over there. They say that I represent I instantiate poor sexual behavior, even though I've been a completely monogamous relationship, and it's well known among the community. And I am divorced. I am divorced with a 7-year-old boy.
She's not telling you the best part, which was the title of the picture.
Oh, the title of the most recent one was I was complaining about working out because I wanted to wear a bathing suit, and they took a picture of me fully clothed on a yoga mat, and it was retweeted, and it said, "There's the levels of atheist e-thoughtery, no bounds," or something along those lines.
Yeah, but I want you to take note of the use of the word e-thoughtery. Okay,
e-thoughtery.
What all had e-thoughtery. To go into that.
She had to look it up, which I thought was cute.
I did have to look it up.
Well, then explain it to me.
You really didn't know what that
was. What does it mean?
I'm just really surprised you didn't know what a thought was.
It stems out of our community.
I also had to look, what was the other one that I had to look up? Was it Beastie or something? What was the other one? No, I have to look at brain cell. Roasty. I got called a roasty.
Oh, roasty. Roasty and a Chad. Yeah. How about a Chad?
What is that? What is a roasty?
Roasty is NSFW. It is somebody who has had sex so many times that their labia look like roast beef.
Why did I ask?
Yeah, I don't know, Carl. You made this happen, so I don't want to hear your shit.
Mark, what do you call your God? Because I'm going to pray to him real quick.
I don't know. But, Father.
But these are traditionalist Catholics that don't like me.
Okay. All right. So getting back to the where were we?
Yeah, let's back on track. We were talking about King James versions of the Bible.
I'm never going to go from a great conversation to roast beef like this. How did we do this?
Okay. Look, listen, I'll admit everybody, okay? We're still waiting to get monetized from YouTube, so we took an Arby's ad, and that's why that was placed in there, okay? All right, let's just be
Arby's transparent. Is good food. I love you, Arby's. I love you.
I believe in transparency. I believe in transparency, Arby's. Okay? Thank you, Arby's. We have the means.
We got the roast beef.
Okay. All right. Now back to the Lord.
Take it off, Kyle.
Back to the Lord.
Oh my God.
This is my kind of church right here, where we can go from there to here in 30 seconds. That is a segue, you know, like none other.
Yeah. I gotta tell you,
what Jesus talked about?
If Arby's comes out with a sandwich called Roasties now, I'm gonna lose it. I'm just gonna fucking lose
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be well.
If my Twitter feed is filled with Arby's commercials, so I'm going to be really mad at you, Kyle.
Okay. All right. We've played out our Arby's commercial. We have to get back to our regularly scheduled programming. Okay. All right. So tell us about the Hindu thing. Now, how did you get into going from Catholic to Hindu and then leaving Hindu and coming back to Catholic? Isn't that just like that song with Paula Abdul? Two steps forward, one step, or one step forward, two steps back?
Well, you know, Hinduism is fascinating. And it helped me understand a lot. God, I hate these things. Hinduism helped me broaden my mind, helped me see things spiritually in a more... let me see, a larger way. I guess that's the only way that I can really describe it.
It's more meditative, right?
I was into a sect that dealt with something called bhakti yoga. And bhakti is complete love of God and complete surrender. And it is a very, very strict monastic type lifestyle. But they deal with Krishna. Okay. Vishnu is God. Krishna is the personality of God. Okay. And then you have all these other gods or aspects of the one true God. So actually, Hinduism in the sect that I was involved with is monotheistic. And everyone's like, no, it's not, because you have demigods. And I'm like, but they're aspects of the one true God. And they're administrators that deal kinda with like different aspects of. The Trinity is actually Vishnu. Yeah, the Trinity is actually Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva.
So similar in principle.
And then there's demigods like Indra deals with the weather and rain and all that kind of stuff. And so they're all just aspects of the one God's personality. When I met these people, and it was at an airport, and I think you know who I'm talking about, the Hare Krishna people. I got off an airplane and I went up to them and said, can I buy some of your literature? Because I was fascinated. I wanted to know what they were about. And a lot of people call it a cult, but I'll tell you what I saw. I saw a group of people who loved God so much that they were willing to give up everything. And now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they gave their money to the movement or anything like that. Some people did. Some people didn't. Some people just, you know, gave it to their families or whatever and moved into the temples and lived the monastic lifestyle. Very kind, loving people. They accept Lord Jesus, as they call him. and they accept him as something that's called a Shaktivase avatar, that he was sent here by God for, you know, at a particular time for a particular purpose to give a particular message. Well, years into, I was initiated, got my spiritual name and all that kind of stuff, and had to follow.
What is your spiritual name, real quick?
Radhi Giridhari Das. Yeah, Radhi Giridhari Das, or Giridhari Das. It can be either just soft G or hard G.
What does that mean?
They also have a sense of humor. Radhi means O Radha, and Radha is the female consort of Krishna. Giridhari. Okay. Yeah. So Giridhari is a story about when Krishna lifted up Govindar Hill with his pinky at 7 years of age for 7 days to protect the inhabitants of the town from the demigod Indra trying to flood the town. And Das just means... well, Krishna got to beat. Yeah. But, so I found out some recordings came out of the founder that were extremely racist, homophobic, and sexist. He looks down on especially Black people. He looks down on women, and he calls homosexuals dogs. And then I found out that they were changing his writings, the scriptures, after his death. The organization started changing his writings and everything. All kinds of other stuff came out and everything. And I was like, all right, well, I still have Jesus. I'll go back to Catholicism. But like I said, after a few minutes, as a priest.
That's a shitty way to end that, though.
It was. It was a tough time.
Yeah.
It was a very tough time. And it was quite an adjustment to make. And so I didn't get any help. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So because they had made adjustments to the scriptures, you no longer had any trust in their efficacy, or you didn't have trust in their validity to begin with because they were able to be changed? Or was it just the tumultuousness of the organization itself that kind of turned you? I'm just trying to figure out the mindset that goes from switching from one religion.
I never gave up. I never gave up Jesus. Jesus was all, and I never gave up studying the Bible. But it was all those things put together. Now, one of the main things that the founder said is never, ever, ever change my writings, ever, for any reason. Okay. But then I heard the things that he said, you know, his sexist, you know, homophobic and racist rants. And I was like, you know, I can't do this.
Right.
So, I mean, there was Jesus. I mean, Jesus was always there. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that you can be a Hindu Christian. I mean, we exist. I mean, I don't consider myself a Hindu anymore.
But you would have been considered yourself in both camps at one point.
Sure.
I didn't realize that they were compatible. So the monotheistic God. The God in Hinduism, essentially, you're viewing that God as the same as the Christian God, only the scaffolding built around the religion itself and the traditions and the practices was different.
Sure.
But it was compatible with biblical interpretation.
Well, yeah, because here's the argument that I have with a lot of Christians. Surprise, another argument. But
let them
have
it.
They don't understand. It's like they call Hindus pagans and heathens. Now, how would you expect a person from India, pre-Judaism, why would you expect them to call God by a Hebrew name? How does that make any sense whatsoever? They call God Krishna or Vishnu. I mean, no one's ever been able to explain to me how that makes them heathens and pagans.
It's because it's too simple, Mark. It has to be. It has to be more complicated than that. That makes too much sense.
I was talking to somebody recently, and he said to me, "Mark, this just makes it so much more confusing." And I was like, "No, it makes it easier. I don't understand why knowledge and, you know.
You have cultures that are different than in every other country, from your language to what you wear to what you eat. Everything about each culture is completely different. Why would the one thing that would be the same between all of them be religion? And that doesn't make sense. It's a lot easier and more simple to think that they just called it something different and it stuck.
Yeah.
So were the doctrines?
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I have so many compatibility questions about Hinduism and Christianity. I have a million questions. So are the doctrines of Hinduism, so I'm assuming that they have narratives similar to, you know, the biblical narratives. You know, there's the story of Moses and, like, you reference the story of Lot. Do they have similar stories? Is there overlap in the stories, or do you see them as different cultural narratives that this is their story of the same God through their culture? Is that kind of how you see it? Like the same God, the Jews wrote their story of their experience with God, and the Hindus wrote their stories of their experience with God. And it's the same God, but of course they were in different locations and different cultures, so they interpreted those experiences differently. And thus they have different texts.
Heresy, No, I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. Okay. But no, that's the only thing that makes sense.
I'm not sure that there is anything wrong with that interpretation. I think that makes some sense when you're with the presupposition of God, that makes logical sense within a cultural context. So how do you know in this instance which doctrine is more truth-filled, has more truth, or are you able to kind of...
Let me say this, Shannon. To go along with what you said, because this is we have Dr. Stephen DeMattei on here all the time, and he goes through those similarities between what's in the Bible and what's in other cultures, and so many of the Steve, how many did he say? He gave it a number, but I can't remember. But there are so many of those stories that are in the Bible and are in other cultures, like the Epic of Gilgamesh is the biggest one, the flood story that originated in ancient Sumeria. And was taken into Israel and spread out. But every culture has a flood myth. Every culture says that the God told them or told a certain person to build a boat to survive it, so that humanity could be repopulated. So and the Ark of the Covenant is another one that is similar in several different cultures. What they do, according to Dr. DeMattei, is that they take these stories and it's orally passed down at first, and then they write it down, and you have all these scribes copying all these things. The scribe might one day think that this word sounds better, so that's altered a little bit. And as you go into other cultures, those cultures take those stories and make it their own, and they mold it to what fits within their culture. So it's all just one big religion that has been kind of adopted to fit the culture as a whole that it's in. I mean, that's a lot
the world's
easier.
Longest game of telephone.
Well, exactly. And a Jew is going to tell the story differently than an Indian. It's just.
But how do you know what to trust then when you look at scriptures? Like that all brings it back to me with, I mean, even if you presuppose a God, like a deity of some sort, how do you know which religion or scripture to invest in as the true one, when we've established that all of them at best have a grain of truth and at worst have been bastardized to the point that there's barely anything remaining except for, you know, the common underpinning of whatever initial narrative was manipulated.
Yeah. There's a scripture, and I suck at actually memorizing scripture. We are told to rightly divide the word of God. Now, what can that mean? You have to delve into it, look at it, tear it apart, and come up with your own. I mean, honestly, that's what it is.
So it's subjective. Totally subjective.
Couldn't they all be right,
Second
though,
Timothy
in a sense?
2:15, by the way.
Let's say that you presuppose that. Let's say that you presuppose that a God exists, right?
Sure.
Let me grant you that. Let's say that I believe that a God does exist. there are themes that run within all of the major religions that, aside from the small stories like, you know, Jesus in one, Allah in the other, if you take the themes, I think, like, do unto others as you would have them done unto you, and love one another, you know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't murder. Those themes seem to run in all of them. So maybe in a sense, they all could be right as long as you stick to those principles and you let the stories of the figures and the people who are in them be molded to whatever your culture is so that they're relatable. You know what I'm saying? So that these themes can inject themselves into society, you need to have characters that society can relate to. So obviously you wouldn't have the Muslim characters come over to Western civilization because it wouldn't mesh well. They're not this, you know, it doesn't blend, I guess. But if you want to get these themes into society, you just mold the characters around them and keep the central themes the same. And they are. I mean, it's a running theme through most of them.
Yeah, and it's not really like we need these characters and these stories because you call yourself an atheist, and you know right from wrong. You know,
well, I don't know. I haven't figured out where my basis of my morality comes from yet.
That's Stephen Lee Real.
Do you, all right.
That's where we get our morality from, the Not Sequitur show.
I'm going to get real Christian-y on you. I honestly believe that God has written on all of our hearts what is right and what is wrong. That's not something for Christians. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh well, here's a group of people. I'm gonna write on their hearts what's right and wrong, and fuck everybody else. I mean,
yeah, I understand.
Atheists borrow from the Christian view when they are using like moral arguments and things like
even,
that.
Even if you grant
all of us. All of us borrow from everybody all the time. I mean, it's whatever's convenient, whatever's going to win our argument, isn't it?
I would like to borrow Mrs. Tatum's husband. Can we make that happen?
Who's Mrs. Tatum?
Channing.
Channing, call me.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who, yeah, you know who Channing Tatum
really?
Is. Magic Mike.
Okay. Well, I'm like, okay, let me, no, I will let you, you have to understand one thing. I am one of those people that, as far as things of the world, I try to not deal with. I very rarely watch television. I do
but
not.
The world is so much fun, Mark.
I can't fault him for that. I really can't. I get that.
I can't either,
Mark. I'm with you. I don't have cable.
Because of my roommates, my roommate and her husband, they have every freaking cable channel you could possibly want. And I do have a TV right here. It's odd because, like, if I do happen to watch TV, I love that show Lucifer. And it's like, how does that make any sense?
Can I announce it? Can I announce it? You want to hear the truth, Mark? It got picked up.
Lucifer. No.
Yes.
Who picked it
Netflix.
Up?
Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Now, see, Tom Ellis, there's.
Oh, he's fabulous. He's fabulous.
You will be the coolest chaplain when that happens. We're ordaining you tonight. We are ordaining you tonight.
Very good.
I co-sign.
I can't wait to be a chaplain. It's going to be in a hospital and another place is going to be a nursing home. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'll talk to anybody. You don't have to be Christian. I think that I could even help a Hindu. I could help gay people. I'm also 25 years HIV positive. So I could help maybe somebody who's in the hospital with AIDS. There's all kinds of things that you can do rather than sit around and condemn people and try to convert people and just be nasty. There's so much you can do. Get off your asses. It's like, oh.
Well, I thank you. Although we differ on our religious front, I still think that you are an inspiration. So, I have no doubt that you have touch people that are watching, and people who have to go the religious route. Again, I'm with Shannon on the anti-theism part, but if you have to go that direction, go that direction, and not the other direction. Like, keep your humanity intact, and that's what's important. If you're going to be religious, keep your humanity, and that's important. Let's get some questions from the live chat if we have any. Shannon, did you want to ask any more before we open it up to the live chat?
We'd never get any live chat questions in if I keep asking questions.
I just want to say thanks. I have a couple points to make.
Oh, Steve's got points. I just want to say thanks to Mark. You're a great conversation partner. It was really okay. I just want to say thank you to you, Mark. You're a great, very interesting guy. Great conversation partner. I know we still have a little bit longer, but in case I didn't get a chance later, I just wanted to say that your story is really, really fascinating and interesting, and you've been a real pleasure to talk to. And I wanted to thank you for being so open too. These aren't easy things to be open about. So I appreciate your honesty and your openness and your willingness to talk back and forth, even though we're kind of on different sides of the spectrum. So thank you.
Yeah, no, we're really not that.
Well, I know, because I was made in God's image and his morality is written on my heart.
We're united against the bigotry.
Fundies on either vitriol. Side.
Right, exactly.
Yes, that's, yeah. On either side, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Asshole atheist.
One person in the chat has suggested, Brian Stevens suggested, we should change the title too. And what do you think about this? Chaplin rejoices over Lucifer's return.
Yes, brilliant. Oh, well, if Mark's okay with it, I'm not going to do that.
I'm fine with that. But also, now that Cain is in the story, Cain is hotter than Lucifer. I just have to say.
Oh, shut your mouth. No.
Okay. I'm not a place. I don't know who any of the hot guys are.
There were so many levels of awesomeness tonight in this episode. This was one of my favorite episodes. I think this went really well.
I think fast too. I was telling Kyle, it's like every time these things go by fast, and I was already 90 minutes in already. But I want to ask you real quick, Mark, if you had ever read the story, because you're talking about the names of gods like Vishnu. Have you ever read the story by Arthur C. Clarke called the 9 billion names of God?
No, I haven't.
Get a chance, read it. Wonderful short story. It won multiple awards, like the Nebula Awards, I think. But it's a wonderful story about a bunch of Tibetan monks collecting all 9 billion different names of God on a computer. And I'm not going to give you spoilers, but it's a wonderful short story.
And it's what's the name of the book?
9 billion?
The 9 billion names of God by Arthur C. Clarke.
Hold on, Steve. There's 9 billion
stories. Yeah, it's called the 9 billion
names of God. Is that true, though?
I don't think there actually is. But the synopsis would be the Tibetan monks believe that if you collected all the names of God, that's when the universe would end. That's the synopsis of the story.
So they were trying to get the universe. Okay, that's fascinating. Why would you want the universe to end?
That is fascinating.
But
I would love the universe to end.
Back to be right.
You would love the universe to end.
Oh, Mark, absolutely! No. Come on.
I like the universe. I'm in the universe. Don't make it end.
I'm going to fall into the universe.
Here's a good question. Here's a good question for Steve. Where do you fall on the creation evolution debate?
For me or for Mark?
People don't even want to know where you fall on the issue, and they know, Steve. We know where you fall on the issue.
Where I fall on the issue is I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Well, I don't understand.
You don't care as far as it doesn't affect your faith, right? I mean, you still like to know what's true, what's not, right?
Not as far as that goes. I mean,
you just don't have.
I wouldn't shake your faith if evolution is true, right? Then
not at all.
Okay.
I see. I can see where it's compatible. It can be compatible. I don't put a lot of thought into
that's
it.
That's good.
Well, in our realm, we talk about that a lot.
Yeah. We're making sure you're not in the Hovind camp.
Oh God! No,
no. I where? Who's that one? That's what's his name? Nephilim something?
Oh no! Don't say it.
Don't say it. You can only say that one time. If you do it three times, he will pop up into this.
No! Okay.
We have no control over it. We have no control
over it. You manifest. It can't be stopped. Like Beetlejuice.
What about Nephi?
Don't, Steve. That's two. You need to stop.
I'm going to, as far as Nephilim goes, I'm going to be a Christian.
Yeah. Yay.
Oh. He didn't say free. Okay, good.
Oh, okay, good.
Excellent.
No, I'm okay with that, Mark. I'm quite fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay, at least we had a couple of questions. Steve? We can maybe get in here. You know, we got a couple other. Shiva, the scam destroyer, appropriate name, Shiva. He asked, how do you square the Hindu concept of rebirth and the Christian view of the afterlife? That's a good question, actually.
Oh, that's a whole different show.
We could do that. Oh, there you go. Whole different show. Let's do it. It should be a great show.
John 3:3, verily, verily, I stand to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said unto Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus went in to explain a little bit more, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But if you look at that, and you look at the times when Jesus said that John, he said that, what was it, John was Isaiah and you knew him not. There are definitely references to reincarnation in the scriptures. I really haven't delved into it, but I will.
Fascinating.
That's a pretty good answer, actually. Okay, we have a question from Jammy. And this one actually could be a conspiracy theory question. I think we might be able to.
Oh, I love conspiracies.
Yeah, this is actually a good one. He says,
It doesn't have to do with the Sphinx, does it?
No, it does not. No, it does not. It's a new one. It's a new theory. He says, believe in time travel? Wait, he says, do you believe in time travel? Because I'm not 100% convinced that Mark is not actually Kyle that's traveled back to the past from the past or back from the future to the past to be on this show right now. We have similar hair.
Yeah. Time travel. Hey, with God, anything's possible. How's that for a God in the box answer?
Kyle, this is your future. This is your future.
Listen, just do not think too much about what happened last Thursday. Okay, that was a one-time thing. I don't plan on you cannot let it eat you alive.
Oh my God. I'm talking to insane people.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, welcome to our world.
Yeah. No, I'm well aware of that world.
Okay, now my conspiracy. How did you know that I've subscribed to the Sphinx story?
I have no idea what it is, but I was watching a show and you said to, who was it? As a matter of fact, you had a bunch of guests on and it might have been last night or the night before.
Yeah.
And you said something about this. Yeah, you mentioned it, but I have no idea what it was about. Because around this time of night, I have to give my dog her pills and all that kind of weird shit.
Watch next Thursday. We have Brian Forrester, who is a... He knows so much about ancient megalithic structures. I mean, the guy knows so much. He's going to be on here. He's got a YouTube channel, really big YouTube channel, where he goes and actually tours these places. That's what he does. He gives tours to all of these sites around the world, and he's going to be coming in to explain why I might sound crazy, but I'm not crazy.
Right.
I know this is true. This is a true thing. And this is what I feel crazy all of your saying. Eyes out there, YouTube world, burning into me right now. And quite frankly,
thinks colors. So, a little bit on the fringe to begin with, okay? Because he thinks colors exist.
Oh, Kyle
thinks colors exist. He's already on the fringe. So
colors?
Yeah, because that's so fringy. It's so fringy.
When you go
in your car and you're driving up to a an intersection and there's three things that are blinking at you, and somebody goes, Well, it's yellow. You might want to slow down because it's getting ready to turn red. Do you look at that person and go, oh my God, Becky, stop being so fucking fringy?
Ever.
Yeah, I do. I do all the time, actually.
Steve probably does.
No, you say.
It's probably something that he fucking does.
It's just weird to me. When I hear that colors exist, it's really weird to me. It's like saying, oh, well, dreams exist. Well, no, dreams are in the brain, so are colors. They don't exist.
But it exists because you were there. Yeah.
Were you there? Were you there?
Yes, I was there. Absolutely.
We're blowing Mark's mind here. It's okay. And Shannon's just
because they exist because the mind is part of the subtle body, which is the soul, and your thoughts are a product of the self and the soul.
So if the soul exists, colors exist then.
Absolutely.
Look, I hate to throw this in there, but once again, in the past two debates that we've had between doubt and virtue and triangles, I'm 2-0 right now, according to the masses out there.
So the populace. He has the populace. I have the experts, so I'll take the wins.
Shannon, you studied
psychology. Would you say colors exist?
You do not know what you're talking about. No. I believe in you people.
The concept of color exists, but colors themselves are internal conceptualizations. Exactly. They're perceptual cognition.
Thank you.
I stand corrected.
They don't exist in the way the tangible.
This is why I hang out with smart people.
They have no tangible physical property. You can say the color waves exist, but my perception of the color yellow and your perception of the color yellow could be, you know, qualitatively different. And there's no way of knowing the difference between the two. But we do know that, like, I can look at this cup and we'll all identify it as red because this wavelength we've labeled red. But what I see as red and what you see as red could be conceptually way different.
Unless you have God. God has the objective standard of what red is.
Right? People.
Right? I mean, there you go.
People.
I'm gonna go with Mark for this,
Don't get me started on the soul.
I believe in you more. And we want to thank you, Mark, for joining us. So I hope we didn't scare you off and that you'll be back. I think it'd be great
I think it was great. I enjoyed myself.
Actually, you know what? Starting next Sunday, we will start doing non sequitur confessional. It'll be a virtual confessional box. You'll come in with our reverend here and confess your.
He thinks you're kidding, Kyle. No, we're not kidding, Mark.
Did you hear that? The angels just sang on high, Mark.
Who's going to be doing confessions, and can I have my camera off?
Let's have the fun.
What kind of confessions am I going to
We'll talk about it off air. We'll talk about it off air. But anyway, now I will let you guys sum up your thoughts, I guess. Plug whatever you have coming up. If you have a sermon coming up, Shannon, a video coming up, whatever that you've got that you want to plug, go ahead and put it out there and let the people know where they can find more of you, because I'm sure they want to see more.
I'm the old fashioned one. I'm going to say ladies first. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, I think.
Go ahead.
Guys, let's talk about you, Kyle.
Hold on one second. Hold on. I gotta look. Hold on. I gotta look and see the order of the order of the thoughts go.
Wait. Look. Right, look at our glasses. Somewhere. Look at our glasses.
The thought layer. The thought levels.
They're almost the same.
Oh my God, he is time traveling, Kyle.
Let me tell you what happens, guys, okay? I obviously turn out to be really fabulous. Steve becomes a Buddhist. Spoiler alert.
Okay. Oh gosh. I have great friends. Your people are crazy.
Okay. Shannon, please let the people know where they can find you. Besides everywhere on YouTube.
Yes, YouTube. I'm on YouTube. I'm Shan with 2 N's _ Q0 on Twitter, and I am Shannon Q on YouTube, and I should have a video out this week, hopefully I'm getting better at uploading things consistently. So yeah, I should have a video out this week. And thanks everybody. And thank you, Mark. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. You're a fascinating individual. Thanks.
And me, I just put out like, oh great. I just ripped out my headphones.
I told you earlier not to do that.
Yeah, I know. I would be, I put out videos when I'll be reading the scripture and think, oh wow, that's so cool. And then I make a video. So I'm not on schedule with that. But just look up Mark Seidel on YouTube and Christosradio.com. And like I said, if you're Christian, you'll like it. If you're not, you won't.
Do you have Gaga and Cher in that lineup?
I don't. When it comes to secular music, I'm really a Rammstein.
I don't like Gaga, and I'm straight. We need Gaga.
I don't like Gaga. I don't like Gaga. Really? I don't like Madonna. I don't like Cher.
Dave, get him off.
Too, so I'm weird.
Get him off.
No, I don't like any of them. I'm more like
Gaga.
Rammstein, Marilyn Manson. I'm more
okay. That's cool too. I mean, Metallica.
Yes.
Wow. You like Marilyn Manson? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you are. You really are. The coolest. Yeah.
Marilyn Manson sings about rape. Marilyn Manson sings about really great things, and. Yeah, you just have to listen to the words.
Well, I'm gonna we'll end this in the words of the great poet Marilyn Manson. Then you say God, and I say Satan.
Oh,
I ain't saying amen.
We could do your own personal Jesus. Good night, everybody.